We read about miracles in the Bible, and many assume that those miracles were intended just for that time and those pages. But is that what really Jesus intends for us, for miracles to be limited to history?
Let's see what the Bible says about that. Hey, welcome to the podcast. I'm glad you're here for this. If you're watching on YouTube, you can go ahead and like this video, subscribe to our YouTube channel because we have podcasts that come out every Wednesday morning at 8 a.m. So this is going to be a good one today.
Yeah, so it's a big discussion. Does God still do miracles today?
Yeah.
And I've been on different sides of this issue over the years. So I get both sides of the issue, but there's a lot riding on this question because if God actually is still doing miracles today, then that changes a whole lot about how we live out our faith.
Yeah.
That means I can live with a different level of hope about the future. I see the future differently if he still does miracles, and it would change how I pray, how I read the Bible, how I would see even my circumstances. And it would really require kind of upping the level of my faith if he still does miracles today. But if he doesn't, if you kind of draw a line and say, well, miracles ceased at this point in time, at a certain point in time, well, then you can really just kind of let go your expectations for the future. You just kind of reduce them down a little bit. You would need to focus more on just thinking about making it through life instead of thinking God could actually change something in life. Faith and Bible reading and prayer would be much more about really kind of being on the defensive of life rather than on the offensive. And you would live more in the mode of just being a spectator, responder to life than an initiator and one who actually affects change to life. So it's a big question.
Absolutely.
That has a lot of implications for us.
Yeah, and in this podcast, we're not going to exhaustively cover, you know, all the extent of miracles, you know, and in maybe how you've had the, how you've heard the conversation before. Of,
right.
Are you a continuationist or are you a cessationist? Mm. That's not really like, we're not going to exhaustively cover that stuff, but we are going to cover this in the very real, relevant, live him out area of life. That's what our goal is here every time, is to not just information dump, but explain how these theological big picture topics actually impact your today and your tomorrow. You know, not just mentally, but how does this impact your home and how does this impact your relationship to God now, right? So it is essential that in having this conversation, we don't just go off of, well, in my experience, but we go off of what the Bible has to say first. That's always going to be our foundation. So John 14, 12, Jesus is speaking. He says this, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father."
Yeah, that's always been a fascinating verse to me.
Yeah, and one that it's like, I don't even know what that means. Right. I don't even know to what degree, how much greater of the works are we going to do than him?
Yeah.
And Jesus did the greatest works you could think of, basically.
But he said it.
But he
said, and if we say we're going to believe every word of the Bible, every word even written in red.
Yeah, exactly.
Then, this is one of those.
Yes.
You have to choose to say, okay, well, he meant something by that.
Yes. And so it has to factor into our daily life and our faith walk, right?
Yep.
So then also Matthew 17, 20 says this, "I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." Also something that has to factor into our understanding of the miraculous happening, our understanding of our faith impacting the world, impacting the culture, impacting our families, and how our relationship with God plays a part in that.
So, I mean, Jesus uses an impossible picture, a mountain being moved. So whatever he meant by that, some say that what he was doing is referring to Jerusalem. He was pointing toward the Temple Mount. And he was talking about that being removed, the temple being moved in a sense of that would no longer be the place of worship. There would no longer be the need for sacrifices. Some say that was what he was referring to. Regardless, that mountain, any other mountain, You don't just move mountains.
No. Yeah, exactly.
That's an impossibility, but yet Jesus is saying, by faith, those things will be possible. So mm-hmm. I think for the discussion's sake, it's important we define what a miracle is. And I think we could put it in that category of an event that would break the regular and natural order of life. A mountain being moved would be that.
Yeah.
Anything else where the natural flow of life, the natural set of order or consequences or results of a situation change and are, I mean, radically changed.
Yeah.
I know sometimes we refer to a woman giving birth as miraculous. And it is an overwhelming, wonderful experience.
Yeah.
But it is actually what God has designed. Mm-hmm. It's a natural occurrence. As fascinating as it is.
It's extraordinary. It's incredible. It's wondrous. It is hard to wrap your mind around.
Yes.
And a new life coming from someone.
Yes.
But like you're saying, it is not miraculous. It is not outside of the natural course of how things are planned to be in this world.
Yes. So a miracle would be something that changes that order where it was going in one direction and something even more amazing happened, something more extraordinary happened, something that's not attainable by natural occurrence or the work of any person. Mm-hmm. So the Bible has events like that. Of course, the Red Sea is parted, the dead are raised, waters turn to wine, the blind can all of a sudden see, and the lame can walk. Those are events where the natural course of events are interrupted and something extraordinary occurs. Now, the thing about all of the miracles we see in the Bible is that they were, for the most part, they were all physical and tangible. They involve physical creation being changed, order, and you saw them and could touch them. And I think because of that, Christians often think of miracles still in that vein. And so as a result, because no one is seeing seas parted.
Yeah, you're not seeing the Ovilla Creek just split in half.
Right. We're not seeing the dead raised. No one's walking into hospitals and just clearing them out and having people healed. No one walks into cemeteries and raises the dead. Because they don't see those miracles, they assume, well, that means miracles have ceased.
Yeah.
But it could also mean that we have not properly defined miracles, that we are looking at it incorrectly, because you have to somehow bring back in what Jesus said, greater works than these you shall also do. So I think this is where it's, again, important that we understand what's the purpose and definition of miracles. Miracles were, again, extraordinary events, but they were, in the Bible, you often found physical miracles were just signs of spiritual miracles that God really wanted to do. They were, in a sense, a knockoff, a picture of an appetizer for the greater meal miracle that was about to come.
Yeah.
And as great as they were, as great as the lame walking, the dead being raised, water turned to wine, those were all more just symbolic.
Yeah. It was not the point.
It was never the point. That's right. So, you know, God is far more interested in a heart being resurrected than a dead body being resurrected. Mm-hmm. The whole point of Lazarus being resurrected wasn't just so that Lazarus could live a few more years or decades. It was so that we would recognize that Jesus is the resurrection and the life, and so he is the one who raises dead hearts and dead circumstances and dead relationships and resurrects them. There was a bigger picture. So, you got to kind of let your mind get shifted here on some of this.
Renewed, you might even say.
Yep. You got to do a little rethinking on miracles because if you're just looking at them from that physical component, we don't see them in that sense. But those weren't the epic ending. They were simply a picture for what was to come.
Yeah. Yeah. Because when you understand the right definition of miracles, you start to understand that the miracles that are greater than, you could say, that Jesus says, you will do greater things than what I have done.
Yes.
God desires that, and they are being done today.
Yes.
These miracles are happening today.
Yes.
So to list some of these miracles, and again, whenever we say miracle, the things that are not just naturally going to happen just by the course of events.
Correct.
but something that changes course is something that's miraculous, such right. as resurrecting a person's dead heart, the one that's filled with sin, that is enslaved to sin. When a person is freed from that and they begin to love God with all their heart, soul, mind, strength, that is a miraculous
yes.
occurrence.
Yeah. One of greater value than just a dead body being resurrected yes. to live again.
Yes.
That all that means is physical life came to them and they're still going to die again.
Yes.
And it has nothing to do with their heart necessarily, mm-hmm. their physical component. Mm-hmm. But when a person who has been wrapped up in bitterness, resentment, guilt, shame, disinterest in God, all of a sudden their heart's resurrected and they yeah. come alive and they want to follow Jesus with their yeah. life, that's miraculous.
Miraculous. When someone is born again.
Yes.
That is miraculous.
Yes. That's not the natural order of events.
No, it is. Yes, exactly. So another one, breaking an addiction and filling a person with new hope for their life, giving new desires and giving a new outlook on life, mm-hmm. a cleansing of your past, mm-hmm. and again, new desires to live differently. That is miraculous.
It is.
That is not something that's just going to happen.
Yep.
Freeing someone from anxiety, freeing someone who has anxiety disorders, you could mm-hmm. say, that is a miraculous thing that happens. The breaking of a generational curse from one generation to the next, that is a miraculous thing to happen.
Yes.
That's not, again, not just going to naturally happen where someone's like,
correct.
Ah, you know what? I'm just not going to do what all my family's done before me.
Right.
No, but something miraculous. There has to be a miraculous intervention that mm-hmm, happens there.
Mm-hmm.
A marriage being restored for a husband and a wife, that there would be a unity there that yeah. was not unity.
Yeah.
You know, that
a
there
reconciliation,
would, yes.
a restoration,
that there
intimacy
would,
that had yes. never been there before.
Yes, actual love happening over long periods of time, not just flash in the pan, oh, we did this one thing and now we're yep. love. But no, this is long life change happening. This is yep. miraculous stuff here.
Yep.
Reconciling, not just in marriages, but also friendships and relationships from parents to children, you
yep.
know, older children, all this stuff. But the reconciliation, that's a miraculous thing to happen.
Yes.
It's not just an ordinary, oh yeah, that'll naturally happen. No, miraculous. That
yeah.
is a miraculous
because
thing.
Because it means someone's going to turn, their yep. heart's going to turn toward another person. They're going to be humble. They're going to
yeah.
they're going to ask forgiveness. They're going to repent. All that, those are miraculous
yeah.
events.
And again, before even that, the softening of one's heart to sense that and
yes.
to recognize the bitterness, the anger, or whatever, the vengeance that's there.
Yep.
That softening of the heart, that is also a miraculous thing. So these
yep.
are miracles that still take place today
yep.
that get overlooked.
Yep.
And it's like, oh, well, here's 100 excuses as to why that's not actually a miracle. It's like, no, this is not naturally going to happen. This is by God's Spirit. Any of these things happen,
yeah.
right?
Sadly, it gets flipped. Like, people look at those kind of things today and they don't count those as miracles and they still go back and count the water turned to wine and the Red Sea part.
Yeah.
Well, that's the real miracle.
That's real.
No, you've got it reversed.
Yeah.
Those were just preparatory
yeah.
miracles for the real miracles
for real
of
miracle.
Today.
For the greater
for the
miracles,
greater. Did Jesus say what happened?
Yes.
Yes.
Freeing someone from an abusive relationship, that's miraculous.
Yes.
That someone would be out of bondage
yes.
and into freedom.
Yes.
That's miraculous.
Correct.
Again, healing, not just physically, but healing of someone's heart who has been through abuse or trauma or whatever from
yes.
narcissism.
Yeah.
Again, people who are abusive, oppressive, family members even,
mm-hmm.
where there's healing there, that's a miraculous thing that happens. That you're seeing it on bigger stages, you could say, as well, in nations. Whenever
mm-hmm.
you see the course of a nation change,
yep.
that's a miraculous thing.
Right.
And that's, again, I'm a history fan. And so
mm-hmm.
looking back, seeing those things, you're like, wow, that's an actual miracle that happened. You know, not just the idea of, oh, maybe that could, but this has happened. And so if this has happened, it can happen again.
Yes.
This is a miraculous thing, right?
Yes.
giving a family a new heart to love one another. There would be greater unity, a cohesion in the home. That's miraculous.
That's correct.
Filling a person with the Spirit of God, they would no longer chase the addictions, chase the pleasure, but they would be filled. Raising up husbands, fathers to be spiritual leaders in the home, that is also miraculous. And causing a person to have spiritual interest to genuinely seek the Lord, that is a miraculous thing.
Yeah, those are the real miracles.
Yeah.
Those are the greater miracles that Jesus talked about.
Yeah.
So these are again, events that happen outside the normal flow of life and events that no one can pull off on their own. This didn't happen just by the hand of a counselor, a therapist, a doctor, or self-will. It didn't happen that way. It happened because God intervened into that situation. Yeah.
So I think the question that people have would be, why don't we see that happening more often? Why is that not just prevalent everywhere? Why does it seem like only in some places?
Yeah, that's a great question. The thing about miracles in the Bible is they were never random. They were never just by chance. They're by God's design. And part of that design involved an equation that sometimes we leave out of it. Mm-hmm. So there's a situation where in the Gospels where a man had a son who had seizures, and they were uncontrollable and they were violent to the point that the boy was... he would have these seizures and throw himself into fire or throw himself into water. And so the man brought the boy to Jesus and said, what can you do? And Jesus has a response to him, because what the man was asking for was something miraculous to happen. So what Jesus says to him is this: if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. So Jesus is setting the stage here for where miracles show up. Where do they happen? They happen in settings where there is someone who has expectant, confident faith that they will happen.
Yeah.
Now, we see this pattern throughout Scripture where there's going to be a problem, there's going to be a promise from God, there's going to be belief, and then there's going to be a miracle.
Yeah.
It's the flow. A problem, a promise, a belief, and then the miracle happens. And this is the pattern that God works. We find this over and over again in Scripture. So when we come up with situations, or we come into situations where there is a problem, it is right and good to ask for God to do something miraculous in that situation.
Yes.
To heal the broken relationship, to restore the person who has left the family, left the Lord, to bring provision where there is none, to bring healing where there is dis-ease. 1 John 5 says this: now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. So we're right to ask, and we are called to ask according to what he's promised. If he's promised it, then you should ask for it. He desires for reconciliation. You don't have to really even ask that question. He desires restoration. He desires revival. He desires to be glorified. Mm-hmm. He desires for hearts to be changed. He desires for people to be set free. He desires for marriages to be restored. He desires for families to be closed. He desires for a church to be in unity. He desires for revival to happen in a community. Mm-hmm. You could just take those as given promises.
Yeah.
I mean, the Bible's filled with his promises. So we're right. You're in a great place to ask God to do something that he's already promised.
Yeah.
That's a good thing to do, to ask. But the thing is, when Jesus made this statement to this man, he was saying, you need to believe. You have to confidently, boldly, expectantly believe that what you're asking me for, it will happen. And we find this pattern again in the New Testament. So the woman who is in the crowd, who wants to be healed because she has an incurable disease that she's had for a long time. It's an issue of blood. No one can heal her situation. She's desperate, and she goes to Jesus. He doesn't even initially see her. The Bible records that she touches just the hem of his garment in the crowd. Mm-hmm. And Jesus stops and says, "Who touched me?" And here's what he says to the woman. He says, "Daughter, your faith has made you well."
So good.
Jesus just says that the real defining moment here, the thing that set you apart from all the other people who are pressing in on me, and the thing that caused your healing was your faith. Yeah. You had the confident expectation that I would heal you. And this drove her to him, and this drove the miracle to her.
Yeah. Like, he doesn't say, daughter, my garment has made you well. It's not
exactly.
It's not in the physical, tangible thing. Because some people who get so caught up in just like literally reading this stuff, it's like, well, Jesus isn't in front of me. I can't touch his garment. I can't be healed. And it's like, that's not what the story's getting after. It's getting after the daughter's faith. It's getting after the woman's confidence, belief in Jesus' ability to heal, not in the way, not in the manner. And that's what I was thinking with about asking for God to do miracles. It's not like, oh, ask for God to do a miracle in this cast a spell like way, in this, you better say it in the right way, in the right order, in the, you know, in this whatever way, in this situation.
To use the right word, the right name for Jesus.
Yeah, exactly. But you're asking as a child to a father. Mm-hmm. You're asking as a child of God, would you move in a mighty way in my situation?
Yeah.
That's what we're getting after here. Yeah. That's what the miracles, it happens to him who believes.
Yep.
It's not to him who does all the right things.
Yeah. Said the right incantation.
Yeah, that's not what the miracles are about, but it's about the belief. It's about the faith.
And Jesus is drawn to that. That's what he identifies in her. Your faith.
Yes.
Your faith, your expectant belief that this was going to happen is what made you well.
Yeah.
So we find the same thing in the letter that James writes, one of the first actual New Testament letters. So you're early after Jesus has been resurrected, ascended back to the Father. James writes there about a very practical situation, people in the church who are sick. Mm-hmm. He says, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. Mm-hmm. Here again is this component where faith is the determining factor for a miracle to happen, for the natural order of events to be changed, for the person who is sick to be healed. And it comes in line with faith. This is even what we see where Abraham and Sarah in the Old Testament miraculously conceive. It's because they believed a promise from God. They had faith. The book of Romans writes its own commentary. Paul writes his commentary about that event. Here's what it says, that Abraham did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. He didn't stagger at it. He didn't stutter, pull back, wonder, doubt. Instead, it says he was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. So here's this component that brings about the miraculous, is that when the person chooses to fully believe God said it, this is going to happen. It's not a matter of, I wonder if it's going to happen. It might happen. We'll see if it's going to happen. No, he was confidently, fully convinced it was going to happen before it happened. That response is what God is looking for. Mm-hmm. That is where miracles are born.
Yeah.
It is being in a position of expectation.
Yeah.
You are confident and anticipating that it will happen.
Yeah, that's so good. And again, it's not by specifically like in this example of Abraham. It was not by his perfect actions.
Yeah,
it was not by his perfection in life, his sinlessness for God to hear and answer him. But by God's promise and by his, I'm convinced this is going to happen. I'm fully convinced in God being faithful to his word.
Yep.
That it came to pass.
Yeah.
It's not by his actions.
And you study all the miracles of the Bible. We're not going to do that in this podcast, obviously. Yeah. But you study them all, you find that was the component that drew the attention of heaven and drew the actual transformation of the natural order of things. Things
so
changed
good.
In that moment.
So
then you find this very sad story in the New Testament of a place that some miracles did not happen. And you think, wow, was Jesus weak in that moment? Was he limited? What happened? So in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 13, it records this about a city, an entire city, Nazareth. It says, now he, Jesus, did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. He didn't do the works because people there were not convinced. They were not confident. They didn't have that level of faith. So, my goodness, now we've got this more clear picture of where miracles occur. They occur in the places where people are confident that they're going to happen. Not just believe that they could. That's where you find a lot of Christians today. Oh, I believe God could do it if he wanted to. That doesn't seem to be what catches the attention of heaven and zero in and, perform something. It's when someone confidently believes this is going to happen. God said it. I believe it. I'm confident it's going to happen. It may not happen in my timetable, but it's going to happen.
Yeah.
That kind of expectation, anticipation draws a miracle. Every time. We've seen that here at Vertical. We've seen lives change. That whole list we read earlier, those are just testimonies from here at Vertical. People's lives being radically changed because there was a confident belief that he would do those things. And so that's what we encourage people to do. Find the promise from God for you. Find out what he's saying to you and confidently believe that. Express your faith. Grow your faith. Have bigger faith. So does God still do miracles today? Yes. He does them in the realm of people's hearts more often than he does in the physical, but they still happen there too.
Yeah.
He does them based on what he's already promised. We don't just get to make up whatever we want. He has a way he works, and he's looking for those who will ask down that line of promise. And then he does them where there's confident faith that he will do the miraculous. So I think in short order, we've answered the question today. Yep. I hope it's encouragement to you where you live. God has miracles he wants to do in your life. You have problems that you're walking through in your life. Those problems are meant to be met with promises. And there, when you believe with confident faith, I am confident he will do the miraculous. So, in doing this, let's just keep lifting him up and living him out.